For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, we've made the adjustments. We got a new game plan. Second half kickoff right here on the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Now offering telemedicine. Dave's on vacation. We have no idea where he is. We don't ask those questions. All we know is that he threw the keys to me and Tyler. And he said, don't wreck it. Make sure it's in one piece and make sure it's got a full tank of gas when he comes back on Monday, and that's our plan, Tyler.
I was going to say, you think Dave like does that old trick where he like places a hair on top of something to see if we mess with it while he's gone?
Absolutely. So be careful anything you touch. Leave everything exactly the way you found it, because Dave will be snooping around here on Monday making sure that we didn't play any shenanigans, man.
We don't want to get grounded.
No, we don't want to get grounded. What we do want to do is bring in our next guest, host of Dog Nation Daily, which you can hear right here on 960 The Ref, noon to 1 every day, Brandon Adams. Brandon, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, and I would say good today for enjoying some vacation. Listen, I'm a big believer in a couple things. Obviously, I love my job, love talking college football every single day, and yet I also respect the sanctity of vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there should be a firewall basically built around vacations. Let people go. Let people have some privacy. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, puts a gazillion pictures on social media when I'm on vacation. That's my time to get away, and I'm glad that Dave is kind of doing the same thing.
Me and Logan were talking about it earlier. We find it kind of funny whenever Dave is on vacation. Obviously, we don't know where he goes, and we don't ask either, but every couple days or maybe 1 hour out of every single day, he'll just maybe like a tweet that we all get tagged in, and that's kind of our way of knowing that he's good, he's all right, he's aware of what's going on, but he's enjoying his vacation too.
I don't know what
seemingly he is somewhere in the northern hemisphere if he's able to kind of do all that.
I don't know what it is. Maybe we're all just ready to get out here, but I know if I open up my Facebook page right now, I guarantee there's at least a dozen or more people I know that are at a beach vacation right now this week. Even at our office, we've got several people, not just Dave out, but BA, it's that time of year where a lot of people do head to the beach and we pull out those magazines and we start reading about the upcoming season. Now, I don't mean to start this on a negative note. I don't want to do that, but there's that word but. This last weekend, we got some news that didn't very, very well sit with a lot of people, that LSU, Clemson, and other schools are starting to get hit with some positive tests on this virus deal. Kansas State, I think Boise State, another example of programs that have just shut it down for the next couple of weeks. But we're 75 days away from Georgia, Virginia playing. That can be two things at once. A long time from now, and it can also be a very short time from now, depending on how you look at it. But BA, do those headlines deter any optimism we've built over the last several weeks or months?
Well, I think it's important to keep, reality the focus here. And I think there's a temptation to not do that on both sides. There are some people who seemingly just, you know, relish any degree of bad news when it comes to the coronavirus, and they're all over social media, they're touting it, they're amplifying it, and everything else. And for instance, in the case of the LSU, the Clemson situation, you know, you mentioned Kansas State, the University of Houston comes to mind here. You know, they almost treat it as a scandal that positive tests occurred. But the reality is, there is a measurable rate of positive tests right now across the entire country. It's a little bit more than 5%. So when you bring in a bunch of people and you test them, the odds are about 5% of them will test positive. Now, the weird thing about statistics is it's not always 5%. In some cases, it's a little lower than that. For instance, the PGA Tour has tested every golfer the last 2 weeks on tour. They've only had one person test positive, and that was after the initial test. So you're going to occasionally have some lower outliers. You're going to occasionally have some higher outliers. But in and of itself, positive tests aren't a scandal. However, here's the other, I think, important thing here. On the other side of this, I think it's important to view the reality of the fact that this is still a, I guess the word is communicable, a communicable disease. This is still a disease that is passed around. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the 5% positive test rate a moment ago. That's about a percentage point higher nationally than it was about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one of the things you hear sometimes is that the presence of more tests means more positive tests. That's true, and sometimes the media hasn't accurately reported that. However, in addition to that, what should not get obscured is the rate at which positive tests are coming back in is a little higher than it was about a month ago. So I think what you said earlier is absolutely right. This is something worth monitoring. The fact that the LSU had the breakout, or at least the large number of people going into quarantine, Clemson had a large number of people going into quarantine, that's not a reason to slam the brakes and stop all of this. But it is a reminder that what we're dealing with is real, and you know, plans have to be in place to protect against that.
As opposed to schools like LSU and Clemson, who have made their numbers public, Georgia's keeping everything under wraps. Is that a better way to go about this?
I don't know if it's better or worse. It doesn't bother me that Georgia is not reporting, especially when you see, you know, the hysterics that emerge about any kind of reporting. It, you know, some of the stuff about this is so hysterical, you almost are left to conclude it's not in good faith. So, you know, the fact that Georgia is, you know, keeping this private, I don't know if it's better or worse, but I'm fine with it. I don't think the world's, you know, I don't think anybody's hurt by Georgia keeping this under wraps right now, especially just given the fact that when Smart has spoken about all of this, and over the course of, like, the spring months, he was asked about this a few different times, and times he was made available with the media. I mean, seemingly he was taking this really seriously. Like, the one thing that I've said over and over again is Smart's not some meathead coach who only cares about football and everything else is going to come at the expense of getting ready for football. If for no other reason, then it's just it's bad for, you know, it's just bad for the program in general not to be seen as taking care of the players. There's a huge incentive to do right by players here. So, you know, I don't know that, you know, he's going to obviously, or the program itself is going to obviously publicize everything that is going on here. But I have no doubt that Kirby and, frankly, the rest of these major programs that we would talk about in an interview like this, I've got pretty strong confidence that all of them behind the scenes are taking good care of players. Mm-hmm. Even if they do have some positive tests emerging, Georgia probably does have some, even if it's not reporting them publicly. I don't have a problem with them keeping that under wraps because I know, excuse me. I know what they're doing privately to, you know, to get these players healthy and ready to go. And by the way, in most of the cases, what we're talking about are healthy players who have asymptomatic coronavirus cases.
Speaking with Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily on the phone line, BA, we'll go a little yin and yang here. I started off with a sort of negative question, but I do want to get some positivity in here as well, because I am thoroughly of the belief that in 75 days from today, September 7th, Georgia will play football. And when that day comes, I thought you and John Stinchco Monday had a really good conversation. There's not a Georgia fan that's not excited about George Pickens' sophomore year, but you guys went in depth about how his skill set and what he brings to the Georgia wide receiving play on the field of play will open up opportunities for other receivers to get open and be that second guy. What did you guys cover on Monday when y'all talked about the basically opportunities for other players to get a bigger role because of George Pickens?
Well, the one comparison I've made in the past is, I know I'm not the first one to ever use an analogy like this, but to me it's almost a Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen situation, mm-hmm. where of the Georgia wide receiver core, it's easy to imagine Pickens being a lot like a Michael Jordan, you know, someone who's, you know, very, very difficult to game plan against, someone that a lot of resources goes into stopping when you're playing against him. And I expect even with that, Pickens will still have a really good season. But in terms of the true excitement that I think that Pickens has a chance to bring to the Georgia offense, it's the opportunities that he opens up for other receivers that I think is the real fun thing here. Because while, you know, there are these great individual receiving seasons on virtually every team that's won a national championship in the college football playoff era, the truth is the goal here is to also raise the level of play of the entire receiver core. Go back and look at last year's, for instance, on this. Pickens had about as good a freshman season as you can have. Mm-hmm. People have had better freshman seasons, but Pickens was in the high-end realm for freshman performance, and the Georgia receiving core overall still had kind of a disappointing season. So that goes to show you that one receiver alone is not going to save receiving core. But as Pickens gets better in the sophomore season, we expect him to be, then what does that do for veterans who've been here, like Harris Jackson or Demetrius Robertson? What does that do for 2020 signees like Marcus Roseme, Jermaine Burton? You know, there are a lot of players in that wide receiver room that you could potentially see really playing off of George Pickens in an interesting way, and all of a sudden they're made more exciting because they've got, you know, better matchups to take advantage of, less, you know, safety coverage to worry about because safeties are shading over in the direction of George Pickens. To think about how Pickens might energize the other receivers, that's one of the things that I think the Georgia fans ought to be the most excited about for this upcoming season, especially given the potential energy that I think that Todd Monken brings to this new Georgia offense.
My intention on this is not to fuel freshman hype. In fact, I notoriously kind of stay away from that. It's not fair to put that on a freshman, but you just listed a couple of guys that have experience at the wide receiver position, but we can't just ignore the fact that Georgia brought in one heck of a wide receiving class last recruiting cycle. Who is a player that maybe you'll watch a little closer than others when maybe camp opens up or the first couple games to maybe see the field as a freshman wide receiver, maybe more than others?
So if you polled 100 people who follow this stuff closely, when it comes to receivers, between Justin Robinson and Marcus Roseme and Jermaine Burton, guys like that, I think you'd get a bunch of different names. Some would even tout Arian Smith because of his speed. Here's the way I'll answer that question. While Robinson, I believe, is the most physical, Burton, I believe, is the most athletic, Arian Smith is clearly the fastest. However, number two in all of those categories might be Marcus Roseme. Mm-hmm. Roseme might be that guy who's not the fastest or the strongest or the whatever, but he may be number two across the board in every single one of those categories. So if I'm going to place my bet on from that group who emerges, I would probably put a slight lean in the direction of Roseme. That's not to say that there couldn't be a big role for Jermaine Burton and for some of the other guys for the reasons that I mentioned. But just the overall level of polish that Roseme has, played in a very big program, you know, very well coached throughout his high school career, he's got some individual coaching the way that most of these guys kind of do in this age. If I had to lean in a direction, I might lean in the direction of Roseme because he has a little bit of everything. However, the other players obviously have some credentials worth arguing for, too.
Sticking with the offense, you talked about this on yesterday's show, a lot of hype nationally surrounding Jamie Newman, depending on what outlet you're reading. A lot of people think he's got a good shot at possibly being a serious Heisman candidate, but there are a lot of Dog fans that are a little bit reluctant to jump on the hype train as of right now. Why is that exactly?
Yeah, I think they just feel like they've been here before. You know, you go back and look at Preseason Magazine a year ago, and this is not me poking at Jake Brom. I mean, listen, the autopsy of the 2019 season has been well long finished by now, but the fact of the matter is there are a lot of people saying some of the same kind of stuff about Brom a year ago, top four quarterback in the country, you know, potential first round pick himself. And obviously we know that the Georgia offense just didn't produce that kind of quarterback play a year ago. It just sort of is what it is. And so, I mean, UGA fans feel like there's a sense of we've kind of been here before in terms of expecting the big breakout, expecting the big performance. And that's why I think the pressure is on not Newman to provide this. I don't think that Jamie Newman is supposed to be UGA savior. I think the Georgia offense needs saving. I just don't think Newman's that savior. I think it's Todd Monken. You know, the fact of the matter is Newman's got the requisite skills. He's got the leg strength, or the athleticism. He's got the arm strength. He's got the things that a good quarterback ought to have, and it's up to Todd Monken to get it out of him. But the fact is, I think that Jake Brom also had the requisite skills also. His skill set just different than Jamie Newman's. I think the Georgia offense failed Jake Fromm a year ago. And so when you talk about, you know, does Jamie Newman live up to a lot of this stuff? Newman came to Georgia to be made into a better quarterback outside the program than he was going into it. And that's all on Todd Monken. I would add Buster Faulkner to that as well, the analyst that Georgia's hired to work with the offense. So in terms of, you know, how do you sort of view the Jamie Newman hype and will Jamie Newman live up to that hype? The questions should be centered around, is Todd Monken going to effectively get something out of Newman? And I say that as someone who assumes that Newman will be the starter, whether JT Daniels is ruled eligible or not.
B.A., let's talk a little bit of recruiting. I got a couple things I want to ask you about. First of all, on Monday, me and Tyler were in here, and we had Mike Griffith on like we do every Monday. I wanted to ask him about this because it was fresh, but I decided to shelf it because it was something I definitely wanted to talk to you about. For a specific reason, but I thought Lavoisier Carroll's reaffirmation to his commitment for Georgia back on Sunday was nothing shy of comical. I thought it was nothing shy of amazing for Georgia fans to read. I'm pretty sure if you were to examine Dan Mullen's face, you might even find Kirby Smart's fingerprint across that thing. It felt like such a slap. The way that Lavoisier Carroll did this, I was very pleased to listen to your show Monday when you started with that. And I'll reiterate exactly what you said. What on earth did Dan Mullen do to Kirby Smart? Because I'm enjoying every minute of this right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is a new chapter in what's been going on now for a while, whether it be Warren Brinson, who decommitted from Georgia, called Florida one of his finalists, and then very quickly recommitted to Georgia. That seemed to be an act of trolling. Carson Beck saying he only used interest from Florida to draw an offer from UGA. That also seemed to be a degree of trolling. But I think what went on with Lavoisier Carroll was worse, because it really hits at the heart of a position that Florida has not recruited very well. Gators fans would know this better than me, but I'm straining to imagine Greg Knox, the running backs coach. I'm not sure he signed a running back coming out of high school, which is a tough thing to say for one of your position coaches since he's been at Florida. I'm not sure that he's done that. Either way, they certainly have not recruited at the high level at the running back position. And to have Lavoisier Carroll say, well, I was considering going to Florida because I thought it was a chance for me to have early playing time, but ultimately Georgia's the right place for me. That is pure poison for Gators message boards. And listen, I don't make any apologies for this. College football is supposed to be fun. Entertainment is the name of the game here. And the main thing oftentimes the college football sells from an entertainment standpoint are rivalries. Far better us to, like, you know, square off as, you know, college football rivals against each other than some of the other ways that people can square off in society. So I think that ultimately college football rivalry is a really good thing. And so as someone who enjoys the Georgia-Florida rivalry, to see a commit to Georgia really spice it up with what he said about Florida this past weekend, yeah, I eat that up. I think it's incredibly entertaining, and I think it's a really rough look for Dan Mullen in Florida. They have gotten the football spiked on them in a way in the Carroll recruitment that probably anything else thus far in this Kirby versus Dan Mullen storyline, probably anything else up to this point kind of pales in comparison.
I'm not going to ask you directly, did you go look at Florida message boards? That's up to you to share if you want to or not. But I'll safely assume they were in a little bit of a meltdown mode on Sunday and Monday because of this.
Oh, sure. And you know, we've said this a million times, that ultimately, if things go south for Dan Mullen at Florida, it won't be because me, noted Gator hater, pushes them that way. It's going to be because Florida fans themselves kind of turn on what's going on here. This is the kind of thing that exists kind of below the surface of the national media's conscience. But Dan Mullen's not as popular at Florida as a lot of people outside Gainesville kind of assume that he would be. He does need to win this year, needs to do better in recruiting this year. You know, he's been in the top 10 the last couple of years. There's still a good bit of faith that this will be a bigger season for Dan Mullen. I'm talking about on the perspective of a Florida fan, that he'll take that next step. But if he doesn't, there is going to be a lot of just sour mood, harsh language coming out of that Florida program because, frankly, these recruiting battles, the ones you win, the one you lose, they predict your future wins and losses on the field. And in terms of being able to keep pace with Kirby Smart, the best teams in the SEC, Dan Mullen just doesn't recruit well enough to do that.
One more recruiting question real quick, and I'm going to shoot real straight here, B.A. I'm not going to sugarcoat this and make it, you know, sound like I'm happy and excited. I'm a little bit nervous about a few things right now. Tony Grimes announcing June 30th next week. Dallas Turner comes out yesterday. He's announcing July 1st. A lot of Alabama chatter with him. Back to Tony Grimes, UNC seems to be a pretty big push. In the Centel Intel this week, Samile Mundon maybe will not be committing in June. And then James Williams, sort of where did Miami come from in his final two? Where do we stand and on here? Am I crazy to think that this sort of feels bad right now, that a lot of these guys may wind up not in Athens, or do I just need to sit back, take a deep breath, and let this thing play out?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's probably always a good idea to sit back, let things play out. But I certainly understand where you're coming from. You know, I'm not going to make an expert prediction on really any of these guys. However, it's obviously understandable why some people would be concerned that Tony Grimes won't choose Georgia when he chooses June 29th. I would say that North Carolina is, at the very least, a real player there, and they may very well be the favorite. Based on what Jeff has reported, our buddy Jeff Centel, about Dallas Turner within the last couple of months, that's the one I probably feel the most comfortable saying, wow, tough spot for Georgia to be in, because he has publicly declared Alabama to be his leader. Now, listen, a lot of times these public declarations don't end up coming to full fruition, but, I mean, Turner's been a little bit more, you know, on the record in terms of, you know, kind of how he's felt there. So the fact that that decision looms quickly for Dallas Turner, it's easy to draw the dotted line to that not necessarily being great news for Georgia, and then you start getting into the smile mon and stuff and things like that. I mean, I think one way or another, the one thing that you got to kind of get yourself geared up for is that whether Georgia were to win with Grimes and Turner or lose with both Grimes and Turner, this is one of those years in which it's just not going to be over because the presence of visits is going to loom large once they do continue. Alabama just got two recent commitments, two very good players, mm-hmm. neither of which ever visited the campus before. That's obviously a very unusual situation because of coronavirus. So it's about getting who you can get now, forming those relationships. But I don't know that any program feels like anything's truly done right now in May and June because once the door is open up for visits again, it's going to be batting down the hatches at that point in time.
I want to go back to Dan Mullen really quick. Are you surprised he's been quieter this offseason as opposed to others? I know this year is obviously different than others, but Dan Mullen certainly seems to feel that he wins when it comes to quotes. But outside of the 12-0 comments, he hasn't really thrown too many barbs at Kirby or really any other coach that I can think of this offseason. Has that surprised you at all?
I would say that probably speaks to a couple of things, maybe just the absence of some organized activities. We haven't seen spring games, things like that. That's where kind of famous thing came from a year or so ago was the Florida spring game. We didn't have one of those this year. So we've had an absence of opportunities for a guy like Mullen to be in public. But the other part of this is it is a put up or shut up type year for Dan Mullen in Florida. You've got the experience of quarterback. You are supposedly the better offensive mastermind. Georgia, from the perspective of a Florida fan, had to go to Wake Forest and get a transfer. Georgia had to, bring in an outsider in Todd Monken to run things. Well, if Monken has a better offense this year than Dan Mullen in Florida, which is obviously a possibility given the overall talent level of that position, if Jamie Newman has a better year than Kyle Trask, which is at least a possibility based on some of the NFL draft stuff that you're seeing, things like that, at that point in time, it's very difficult to keep making the argument that Dan Mullen's going to outcoach Kirby Smart's better talent. It's just, it becomes very difficult to do that. So if you're hearing less from Mullen this year, I think that there is to a degree an assumption to be made that the folks in Florida know it's time to do something with a lot of these predictions that have been made around this team for the last couple of years.
Brandon Adams, thanks for your time as always. I told you off air we're doing dad jokes all week thanks to Father's Day. I can either tell you one or you can tell us one. Which one would you like?
How about you tell me one? Because I think that mine are probably truly as dad as they come.
I did put you on the spot with that one. So what kind of bagel can fly?
That's a good one. Tell me.
A plain bagel.
Oh, that's good.
But ching.
Rimshot.
Well
rim
done.
Shot.
Well done.
Absolutely. I assume
well
you had
done.
A good Father's Day, by the way. I know you got a couple little ones. So what'd they treat you to on Sunday?
You know, we had a very nice time. They actually gave me, I'm looking at it right now, they had a Gator Hater license plate made up for me.
Nice.
So, it was very nice.
That's wonderful. All right, what can we look forward to today at noon to 1 on 960 The Ref with Dog Nation Daily?
I got a little bit of a deeper look at Zamir White today, including a big opportunity for him to show what he's all about at UGA. We'll do that here coming up just a few hours.
We'll be listening. Thanks as always, and we'll get you next Wednesday.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, thanks, B.A. We appreciate it. Brandon Adams of Dog Nation Daily right here on 960 The Ref, noon to 1.
I think.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.